ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम श्री महागणपतये नमः ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवेनाप्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः दिस् मार्निङ्ग् ऐ थाट् इफ् यु मेक् इट् वेरि क्लियर् that all our efforts are ultimately towards having this Upanishadic vision transferred into our vision. The very word Upanishad, Upanishad is the actual word. When you make it a plural word, it becomes Upanishadaha. Upanishad as Upanishadaha. Singular word, Upanishad. In plural, when you change it, Upanishadaha, when you are adding a and visarga, then the tha becomes the. Upanishad is Upanishadaha. So this word Upanishad consists of three portions, giving meaning, and the three portion, three parts of this word are not three different words. Upa, Ni, Shat. Upa is a prefix, and a Ni and a Shat. By itself, Upa does not give any meaning. It's just a preposition, which means near. It indicates nearness. Upa samipa arthe. Samipa arthe upa shabdasya prayogaha. Upa is an expression used to mean something near. And the ni is a nischayatmakaha. Ni stands for definiteness. Then Sat, Shat is actually the modified expression of Sat, and the Sat is actually from the root Sadilru, which means to destroy, to remove. So, Upa, Ni, Shat, together, that word does not directly mean Brahma Vidya. That word only indicates two functions that Brahma Vidya does. What does, even though we say the word Upanishad means Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the absolute reality implied by the term Brahman, is Brahma Vidya. So Brahma Vidya is Brahma Jnanam, knowledge of the truth, knowledge of the absolute reality. So what does Brahma Vidya do? Knowledge of the truth definitely resolves the ignorance of the truth, removes the ignorance of the truth. So, ajnana, ajnanam nashayati. Not nashanam does not mean destruction here. It helps to resolve the ignorance. So, resolution of ignorance is the first function. When the ajnanam is resolved, what is resolved, you all know very well. Ajnanam is the cause of samsara. Once ajnanam goes, the effect samsara cannot be there. So along with ignorance, what goes is samsaraha. What is samsaraha? Samyak sarati iti samsaraha. That which keeps moving perfectly well is samsara. It is beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths. It's called a transmigrated life. Samsara also resolves. So, ajnanam is resolved. Along with the ajnanam, the samsara is also resolved. Because samsara cannot continue to be when ajnanam is not there. When the cause is not there, how can the effect exist independent of the cause? Therefore, samsara also resolves. Therefore, ajnanam nashayati. Ajnana janya samsaram api nashayati. It also helps resolve the samsara. When we use the term destruction in Vedanta Shastram, it really does not mean the total destruction of something. It means only elimination or removal or the resolution of it. Namaste. So how does ignorance is resolved? Sorry, how is ignorance resolved? How does Brahma Vidya help to resolve the ignorance? How does it help you resolve the samsara? How does it do? By helping you, taking you near the Atma. By taking you near the Atma means what? By taking the Jivatma near Paramatma. The Jivatma cannot be physically taken near the Paramatma. Paramatma can be brought near the Jivatma. Already Jivatma and Paramatma are essentially one. They cannot take near. Between the Jivatma and Paramatma, there is distance, and that distance is removed. Okay, so what does Brahma Vidya do? The distance between Jivatma and Paramatma is removed. The distance between Jivatma and Paramatma is not a physical distance. It is a distance caused by ignorance. Therefore, when this knowledge is there, the distance is removed. And that Paramatma also is not far, obtaining as the nearest self, immediate self, a very truth of I. Therefore, Brahma Vidya helps you arrive at the Paramatma, obtaining as your own self. So help you arrive at the truth as your own sarupam. The two functions are happening, which means ignorance is resolved and samsara is also resolved. Therefore, what does Brahma Vidya do? Brahma Vidya does this too. Therefore, Upanishad literally means Brahma Vidya. It implies Brahma Vidya. Upanishad itself is a functional name of Brahma Vidya. What Brahma Vidya does. So, ni nischayena nashayati. Sad stands for it definitely destroys. How? Upa. By taking near. Taking near what? By taking the Jivatma near the Paramatma. Isn't it? So, Upa stands for taking near. Taking the Jivatma near the Paramatma means not physically, but removing the distance caused by ignorance. It helps you what? It destroys too. Ignorance and also ignorance caused samsara. Therefore, Upanishad means Brahma Vidya. It implies Brahma Vidya in terms of two functional names. This is no very well. And here, this word Brahman, we've been listening from day one, after these classes, word Brahma, 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 we've been listening all the time. And we also heard another word Brahma. There's a Brahma and Brahma, two words we have been listening all the time. The word Brahma, please understand, even if you do not know Sanskritam, doesn't matter. Very important for the Vedanta students to know this. Brahman, when we say, it is a neuter gender word. When you say it's a short word, it's a Brahma. And a word ending with a short vowel, Brahma, is a neuter gender word, which implies the absolute reality. Again, the word Brahma does not indicate reality. It implies the reality in terms of its nature of limitlessness. Word Brahma. And here, and you know very well, in Taittiriya Upanishad, the other Upanishads, I explained very well why the word, how the word Brahma does not indicate the reality, it only implies the reality. And always it has been, I have been telling this, the absolute reality, the ultimate truth, can only be arrived at in terms of its nature. So any word used to mean the reality also reveals the reality, not directly, but it only in terms of its nature, it implies the reality. That's why we call it lakshanam. Any word is what? Only lakshanam. And it means it only reveals the reality in terms of its nature. And the very word Brahma, which you have many times you have heard already, so Brahma itself, brihatvat Brahma. Brihatvat Brahma. Brihattamatvat Brahma. So the reality is implied by the term Brahma due to its bigness. Brihattamatvat, due to its bigness, due to its being the biggest, it is known by, implied by the term Brahma. And how the bigness also, how big would you ask bigness is in terms of time, in terms of space, in terms of objects. So time-wise, it is limitless, spatially limitless, and object-wise limitless. Therefore, de kala desha vastu aparichinnam vastu. So the reality, which is free from these threefold limitations, is of the, said to be of the nature of limitlessness. See, you cannot understand the meaning of the word limitlessness otherwise. Limitlessness means what? How limitless it is. How being limitless means what? Being time-wise limitless, being spatially limitless, being object-wise limitless is being limitless. And being limitless is limitlessness. And limitlessness is what? Where will you go and find the limitlessness? How can you find a word, an object for the noun limitlessness? What does this word indicate? What does the word limitlessness indicate? Is there any given form? For us, a word means, word should indicate something, corresponding form, which serves a corresponding function. You all, nama, rupa, karma, already taught you. A form, any word should indicate its corresponding form. And the form definitely should serve some purpose. It is must be associated with the given function. But what does this noun, limitlessness, indicate? There is no form which is indicated by this expression, limitlessness. So limitlessness is actually swarupam, the very nature. And this nature, you can never, swarupam means, so it has to be understood only as the swarupam of the reality only. You know, you understand the reality in terms of the nature of, its nature of limitlessness. Therefore, that which is of the nature of limitlessness is implied by the term Brahma. So, which means, this one word negates what? Even reality is not the time. This word negates what the reality is not. The word Brahma, when it reveals Brahman, it negates what Brahman is not. Which means, the time, reality is not the time, reality is not the space, and reality is not any form, name and function, which exists within the realm of time and space, because all this time itself subject to time, space subject to time, all the forms indicated by the corresponding words, serving their purposes, all of them subject to time. Therefore, reality is not, it negates the entire objective universe, including time and space, the subtle, that intangible These are the very subtle, the intangible aspects, time and space. So, all of them are negated as non-reality, and that therefore that distinguishes the reality from the entire world. Everything is subject to all the limitations. Therefore, when you say this word implies reality in terms of its nature, it also helps us negate the universe being not the reality. Universe being the non-reality. Why? Because nothing in the world fits within that meaning. Because nothing is of the nature of limitlessness here. Everything is subject to limitations. It does too. It reveals the reality in terms of its nature of limitlessness, by distinguishing the reality from everything else, that everything else is subject to all possible limitations. This is where neti is followed here also. Understand? Therefore, we say that is Brahma. Therefore, this limitlessness, you cannot find the meaning for this expression limitlessness other than understanding it as very swarupam, nature of the reality. So, you need to arrive at the reality for that, to see how that reality is of the nature of limitlessness. Brahman. And this the same reality is implied by another term, Atma. Again, there are four different meanings are given why reality is implied by the word Atma. The main meaning is that which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, which also implies what? Spatial limitlessness. How spatially reality is limitless. Atma. So here, this Brahma, the Brahma, and we have this Brahma Shaktihi. Brahman is there, Brahma Shakti is there. And the Shakti is not something separable, something visible, something perceptible. Brahma itself is the reality, and the Shakti is something inseparable. So, that Shakti manifest is this universe. This universe unmanifest is the Shakti. Means, this Shakti, we say, the power of the reality manifest is the universe. And the universe unmanifest is that power. But you give different names. The power of the reality manifest is knowledge. The power of knowledge. The power of reality unmanifest is ignorance. What is ignorance and what is knowledge? The power of reality manifest is knowledge. The power of reality unmanifest is ignorance. You can say vidya, avidya, jnanam, ajnanam. Why do we say the power of reality manifest is jnanam? The power of reality unmanifest is ajnanam. Why do we say that? The power of reality is manifest, is knowledge. Power of reality unmanifest is ajnana means this power does not exist outside of the reality means reality is the source, reality is the locus, reality is the existence of both ajnanam and jnanam. Isn't it? And that reality, what is the nature of that reality, we'll see later on. The power of reality manifest is jnanam, the power of reality unmanifest is ajnanam. Jnanam is otherwise called maya, avidya. The power of reality manifest is jnanam. That jnanam is called jagat. Okay, the whole universe. And how do we say this? Why do we say the power of reality manifest is jnanam, unmanifest is ajnanam? Because when there's the knowledge is, it is a waking state. when there is knowledge, I am, when there is knowledge of the existence of the Self in terms of I am, only then there can be the knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is. When is this jnanam? The knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is jagad asti, jagad bhati, the world is, world shines. This knowledge is when? When is it? This knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the knowledge the world is, world shines, presupposes the knowledge of the existence of the Self in terms of I am. Please think well. You can never have, never can there be the knowledge of the existence of the world without the knowledge of the existence of Self in terms of I am. Isn't it true? Therefore, when this knowledge is, the knowledge of the existence of the Self in terms of I am, then there is knowledge of the existence of the world, that the world is. The world is means, and whatever is, anything else, the knowledge of existence of anything else in the world is only when there is that presupposes the knowledge of the existence of the Self. Even then, okay, this could ardhavikasaha is only half manifestation. Okay, this knowledge is, it is knowledge, it is half manifestation. Half manifestation. When this, if this knowledge, I am, along with knowledge, I am, it is also knowledge of what I am, thereby the world is half knowledge. It is also knowledge of what the world is. You can never have the knowledge of what this world is without having the knowledge of what I am. So knowledge of what this world is again presupposes the knowledge of what I am. Exactly, just as the knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is presupposes the knowledge of the existence of the Self in terms of I am, similarly, the knowledge of what this world is also, or no, also presupposes the knowledge of what I am. You can never say what this universe is without having arrived at what you are, what I am. This is what the scientists are doing. They want to know what this universe is. But Vedantam is very clear. This knowledge presupposes this. And if we know, if there is knowledge, what I am, definitely there will be what this world is also. Then there is a purna jnanam. It is total manifestation. It is the total manifestation of knowledge. Total manifestation of the power of the reality. When there is total manifestation of the power of reality, then we say the purna vidya, purnam jnanam, total knowledge, which we say purnam jnanam. And reveling in that vision is what? Really happiness. That is when you understand the limitlessness being the very nature of reality. That is what is happiness. It is not a state of mind. Now, when this half knowledge, the knowledge of the existence of the self, in terms of I am, become complete total knowledge, when you understand what I am, thereby knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is, will become complete knowledge when you understand what this universe is. I am Brahma Asmi. The world is also Brahma Asmi. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. All that is, there is only Brahma. This is total knowledge. But for which definitely there must be half knowledge. There must be half knowledge for the knowledge to become total. Total, from total ignorance, there cannot be total knowledge. And when this half knowledge is also not there, so this converting this ardha jnanam, partial knowledge into total knowledge, definitely there must be partial knowledge. But there is a time even when this half knowledge also is not there. This knowledge I am is not there. The knowledge the world is also not there. Then there is total ignorance. And when this total ignorance, it is deep sleep state. What is deep? No, this way, deep sleep state. So the power of the reality manifest is knowledge. Power of reality unmanifest is ignorance. And knowledge and ignorance are two states of mind. Two states of experience. Knowledge is a state of mind. State which is a state of experience, and ignorance also is a state of mind, a state of experience. So knowledge, this power of reality manifest, is knowledge, and that knowledge is a state of mind. How do you know? It's a state of mind which is available for experience. And you distinguish it also what? Because there is a state of mind when this power of knowledge is not manifest. This is ignorance, total ignorance, state of mind. And both the states of mind, both are states of experience. Two different states of experience. Therefore, the states of mind being states of experience, and experience presupposes the experiencer. Experience presupposes the experiencer. We leave the external world now. States of mind are states of experience, which presupposes what? State of experience presupposes the experiencer. And there is an experiencer. With witnessing the states being, these two states being experience, discontinuous, being mutually exclusive. That's why we say knowledge and ignorance are opposed to each other. Ignorance is not absence of knowledge. Ignorance is that which is opposed to knowledge. Why do we say when there is knowledge, there is no ignorance? When there is ignorance, there is no knowledge. In deep sleep state is a state of mind. We call it what? It's ignorance. And waking, what we say, what now? When there is knowledge, we call it a waking state. Knowledge is waking state. When there is knowledge, it is a waking state. When there is ignorance, it is a deep sleep state. They are mutually exclusive. They can't coexist. They are opposed to each other. When one is, other is not. But which is not? Both are objects of experience. Both states of mind, states of experience, which presuppose the experiencer. And that experience, states of experience are different. One is knowledge, one is ignorance. But the experiencer is the same. We are leaving the dream state for time being. Because we always say, in the waking state there is knowledge. But now we have to understand what? When there is knowledge, it's a waking state. When there's knowledge is not there, it's a deep sleep state. When there's not no knowledge, it's ignorance. When there's no knowledge, what is there is ignorance. When the ignorance is there is no knowledge. That does not mean that ignorance is opposed to. It begins as ignorant absence of knowledge. Why we say that? Ignorance is not absence of knowledge. Ignorance is opposed to knowledge. Why do we say? Because this power of the reality manifest is this knowledge. Power of reality unmanifest is ignorance. And ignorance and knowledge are two different states of mind. Isn't it? When there is manifestation of power of reality in terms of knowledge, then there is universe shines. When this power of reality unmanifest in ignorance, there is universe doesn't shine. Universe is also not there. Therefore, who is the experiencer? Because of the presence of which, presence of whom, the experience is possible. The ignorance shines, knowledge shines. There is a light, not the so-called light. There is light. Light like light, not this light, okay? That because of the presence of which knowledge being there is known. That because of the presence of which ignorance being there is known. Who is the experiencer? We say the one who obtains that which obtains as the experiencer of the knowledge. The waking state. The obtainer is the experiencer of the ignorance, the deep sleep state, is the experiencer, is the reality, vastu. Experiencer is the reality. I'm using carefully the word reality. I'm not using any other word. Experiencer is the reality. When you say experiencer is the reality, there is no experiencer other than the reality. Then again, we ask, experiencer is the reality means you are resolving the experiencer in the very reality. Because the word experiencer also, experiencer is an expression we use from the standpoint of the two states of mind, the two states of experience, obtaining as knowledge and ignorance. Is it clear? Thought itself is very subtle. There is knowledge. Knowledge is known. Ignorance is known. Even though when you're experiencing ignorance, you're not talking about ignorance, but both are known. Therefore, there is no knower, no experiencer other than reality. Therefore, we say, this experiencer is also a temporary title attributed to the very reality from the standpoint of the states of experience. Obtaining a states of mind. Therefore, there is a knower of knowledge, knower of ignorance, experiencer of ignorance, experiencer of knowledge is distinct from the knowledge and ignorance, the experience. Is it clear? Experiencer is distinct from the knowledge and ignorance. Therefore, the experiencer, knower, is a qualification, title attributed to the reality. Is it clear? Now we ask the question, why should we use this term knower? Knower of the knowledge, knower of the ignorance. Why do we use the term knower? Simple. One who eats is eater. One who jumps is, one who runs is runner. That which cooks is cooker. That which illy means is illuminator. That which knows is knower. That which illy means is illuminator. That which knows is knower. Simple expression is what? Janati iti jnanam. So he only thing is, that which knows is knower. So knowing here, always the verb indicates an action. The verb indicates an action. If you understand its basic teaching, it will be easy for you later to understand what is going to be said later on. You know why? Because Adishankar Bhagavad Pada has to negate the Purva Mimamsaka's views. Now for him, everything is centered on action. Therefore, to later on to understand the Pramanam, you understand its basic teaching. So, Brihadaranyakam, when you understand, lot of things you must have already understood here to understand other things. It's only for assimilation. Now we say that which knows is not, that which knows is knower, is called knower. The reality is given the title of being the knower. Why? That which knows is knower. That knows, therefore it is knower. But now we say, but this verb knows does not indicate an action. Exactly like that which illumines is the light. Isn't it? And therefore that which knows is knowledge. That which knows is knowledge. So, what is that? There is the knower. If you search for the knower, you say what knower is the reality. Means you are resolving the term knower in the very reality. Then you understand the reality as what? What does it do? Why does it know? What does it do? It knows. Reality knows. Now the question is, knows means knowing is not an action, it is swarupam. Janati iti jnanam. Now, please understand, you have arrived at the reality, we have stumbled upon the reality in terms of its nature of knowing. Do you see this? Jnanam. In what form does the reality obtain? What form does the reality obtain? As the knower of knowledge, as the knower of ignorance. When there is jnanam, it is a waking state. When there is ignorance, it's a deep sleep state. Two states of mind are what? In fact, the condition of the power of reality. The power of reality manifest is jnanam, unmanifest is ajnanam. Ajnanam is deep sleep state, jnanam is waking state. And these two states are mutually exclusive, they are opposed to each other. Why? They cannot exist, coexist. That's why we say knowledge is, and ignorance is opposed to knowledge. Is it clear now? Now, why we cannot say ignorance is absence of knowledge? Because never a time the knowledge is absent. You know why? When the knowledge is not there, when ignorance is, ignorance is what? Known. Ignorance is known. Therefore, we say that reality is, we have understand here, this power of reality manifest is vritti-jnanam. Vritti-jnanam. The power of reality unmanifest is ajnanam. And this being, these two being two states of mind, two states of experience, and which presuppose the experiencer. The experiencer knower is, there's no knower other than the abstract, inexplicable reality. And that reality, we want to use some word to mean that reality, vastu. There is vastu. Isn't most of reality? That's why that the knower is a title attributed to the reality from the standpoint of the states of mind. The knowledge and ignorance, both are objects of knowledge. Now we say that reality which is given the temporary title, the knower title qualification, is actually the very reality. We say, why does it know? We say, knowing is its swarupam. Therefore, we have arrived at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing. Knowing is this swarupam. Therefore, what is the term used? Jnanam Brahma. And other words used is what? Jnanam Chit Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam and Chit also used. Mainly Jnanam. And we call Swarupa Jnanam. We want to differentiate now. The reality, the Vastu, which is of the nature of knowing, therefore it knows. When I say light illumines, illumining not an action, Swarupam. So reality knows means reality is of the nature of knowing. Therefore use the term jnanam. You can't even use otherwise. So why do we use the word jnanam? The word jnanam does not indicate the reality directly. It implies the reality in terms of its nature of knowing. Got it? That is swarupa jnanam. Reality is what now? Swarupa jnanam. And this knowledge which opposed to ignorance is what? Vritti jnanam. Is it clear? You have to differentiate now. Swarupa jnanam, vritti jnanam. Now I tell you, the swarupa jnanam is what? Locus, substratum, adhara for both jnanam and ajnanam. where does ignorance exist? Ignorance is a name attributed to the unmanifest power of the reality. Knowledge is what? Also the manifest, the power of reality. Manifest is knowledge, power of reality. Unmanifest is ignorance. It doesn't exist outside of the reality. Therefore, knowledge is what? The knower of knowledge and ignorance is none other than knowledge, reality, which is essentially of the nature of jnanam, which is swarupa jnanam. Is it clear? Now we can say this power of reality, unmanifest is ignorance, manifest is knowledge. When the power of reality manifest as knowledge, then the world is. So what is this world? What is this world? Jnanam. Isn't it? Knowledge. The world is nothing but knowledge. The world is unmanifest. Means what? The knowledge, the power of reality unmanifest is what? The world also becomes unmanifest. So, unmanifest universe, the manifest universe means knowledge, manifestation of the power of reality is manifestation of knowledge, which is the world. Again, the power of reality unmanifest is ignorance, and which is also what? Not outside of the knowledge. That reality, which is of the nature of jnanam, swarupa jnanam, whose the reality whose swarupam is knowledge, jnanam, is distinct from ajnanam and jnanam. Isn't it? The pure, we call it pure knowledge. It's a shuddha chaitanyam. The word shuddha has come because of that. Shuddha chaitanyam means what? That knowledge does not go, does not come. The reality, which is of the nature of jnana, knowing, implied by the term chaitanyam, chitta, jnanam, does not come and go. It's the adhishthanam, adhara. Whereas, this vritti jnanam, isn't it? Comes and goes. Vritti jnanam comes and goes. Vritti jnanam is, ignorance is not there. So ignorance undergoes a change, then there is a jnanam. The vritti jnanam comes, vritti jnanam goes. Comes and goes, isn't it? Vritti jnanam comes and goes. And that which comes and goes is what we say thought. The knowledge rising as thought, remaining as thought, then resolving as thought, comes and goes. But for which the source is what? Jnana. Pure knowledge. And that reality is what? That is why I told you many times in the class, irul oli irandukkum oridam. Now you can understand. It is the, isn't it, darkness. That's why we always say sun cannot illumine the darkness. Whereas reality, which is of the nature of knowledge, illumines both. Ignorance also is illumined, knowledge also is illumined. The source of knowledge. Is it clear? Therefore, ultimately, that reality which is of the nature of knowing is jnanam brahma, jnanam. That jnanam is what we say satyam. That reality vastu jnanam is satyam. And what about the power of reality? Unmanifest as ignorance. manifest as knowledge is what? Mithya. The power of reality is mithya. Manifest is also mithya, unmanifest also is mithya. Why? The manifest or the unmanifest, the power does not have. Power of reality manifest as jnanam, the world shines. It is mithya. There is no independent existence. The power of reality unmanifest also is what? No independent existence, it is mithya. So, this reality. Now we say, it is this vastu arrived at as this swarupam, as the very truth of knowledge and ignorance. They both does not have existence outside of the reality. Knowledge is not even existence outside of the reality, which is essentially of the nature of knowledge. Swarupam of the ajnanam is also what? Jnanam. Swarupam of the jnanam is also jnanam. It is chaitanyam. Now we say, that is why, what is that? What is the meaning of the word existence now? Next we are going to the word existence. Jnanam, we are very clear. Are we clear? No doubt. Now you can differentiate vritti jnanam, swarupa jnanam. Now we take the word existence. Sat. Chit, you understood. There is no way of arriving at the reality other than chit. So reality has to be arrived at only in terms of its nature of knowing. And that can be arrived only as one's own swarupam, only through the individual analysis. That is why individual analysis is very important. Why? Only by analyzing the individual, you can arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing. That's how you arrive at it. Chit, chaitanyam, jnanam. And even you understand the mind also only in terms of you know, what comes and goes. How do you understand mind? Mind itself is subtle, very subtle, inexplicably subtle mind. Very subtle. How are you going to understand the mind? Mind you have to understand in terms of states, condition. So when can you call it a waking state? When do you call it a deep sleep state? So that which comes and goes, that which undergoes a change is the mind. That's how you understand mind. When there's knowledge, it's a waking state of mind. You understand, oh, this is how the state of mind is. The mind itself is subtle. When there is no knowledge, knowledge means what? When there is no manifestation of knowledge, when there is ignorance, you call it what? The another state of mind. You understand the state of mind also in terms of its nature of coming and going. Now, we say, when you understand the knowledge doesn't exist outside of the reality, the knower, the ignorance doesn't exist outside of the reality, for knowledge and ignorance, the substratum is the same, one and the same vastu reality, which is purely of the nature of knowing, which is pure knowledge. Pure knowledge. Now the question is, so the word existence, take the word existence, this noun. In all this, if we take all the different schools of thought, Sankhya, Sankhya philosopher, Yoga philosopher, Purvimamsa philosopher, and even the non-believers of the Veda, atheists, Nastikas, and astikas, these other astikas. All these people of different, given to different systems of, different schools of thought, none of them has really ever made any effort to analyze, understand existence. Even the so-called Vaijnanikas, the scientists, they never made any attempt to understand the meaning of the word existence. In fact, they never paid any attention to that expression existence at all. Never paid. The scientists' efforts are all only understand the existent forms, names and functions. The adjective, okay, existent forms. All their inquiries, all their exploration, only within the realm of the existent forms. But they never pay attention to the existence. So for all these people, if we understand, there are only two systems definitely made efforts to analyze the existence. That is Bauddhas. The Buddhists made some efforts to analyze existence. But even their analysis of existence is only to some extent. They left it. They have not arrived at the conclusion. Left it half the way. But only Vedanta Darshanam has made thorough analysis of this known existence and arrived at the conclusion also. Non-refutably, they arrived at the conclusion. Only Vedanta. So, analysis of the existent is different. Analysis of the existence is different, isn't it? And when they analyzed thoroughly, they understood when there is manifestation of the power of reality in terms of the knowledge of the existence of the self and the world, so that existence of knowledge of the existence of the self, knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of I am and this world is, only then there is existence of the world. For existence presupposes knowledge. Existence presupposes knowledge. Suppose if we take Rama walks, Sita cooks, Hanuman brings. These are statements, simple state sentences. Here all these verbs like walks, cooks, the verbs denote actions. But world exists, a tree exists, plant exists, human being exists. Here this particular is also verb, exists. This does not denote an action. Yoga does not denote an action. Therefore, there is no form, thereby there is no word or function or purpose can exist independently, independent of the form. And the form, no form exists independently, without. Every form is dependent on the existence, for its very existence. Anything is means definitely this existence. So that every form enjoys existence, the is verb denotes what? The existence enjoyed by every form, denoted by any word, serving any purpose. That existence definitely is what? Is. There is existence. See, other people could not see existence as an independent, separate entity. People could not see, because most abstract. The meaning of the word existence in Tamil, irupu, they could not think of existence without a form, name and function. They could not see that existence. The analysis all are, is only about the existent forms. They never pay attention to existence. So, it's very important, the very subtle fact is, existence is an independent entity. So, in this the Vedanta Shastram, it is thoroughly analyzed. Even other systems have made some efforts to at least understand, analyze consciousness, but nobody ever analyzed existence. This existence, when they analyzed, the thorough analysis, existence definitely is one. Is aval nitya ekvachana shabdaha. We can never say existences. It's already thoroughly arrived at the conclusion is what? Existence is one. And this existence is one indivisible, partless whole. All pervasive. Ekam nityam. Existence has no beginning. Existence has no end. Existence is of the nature of changelessness. Verse nityam nirvikaram. No, doesn't undergo any change or anything. Ekam nityam nirvikaram. All now we see in this, we see stotrams, we can kind of all these words. Ekam nityam nirvikaram. One, eternal, changeless, all pervasive sarvagatam, and his existence is not dependent on anything in this world for its existence. No, apart from existence, what is his form, name and function? Thanks to Shankar Bhagavatpada, they have given such a beautiful definition of the jagat, nama rupa karmatmakam jagat. What is this jagat? The universe can be reduced to forms, names and functions. The forms, names, the names and functions are absolutely dependent on the forms. The forms are dependent on the substance. Isn't it? Therefore, sarvagatam ekam nityam sarvagatam nirvikaram sarvagatam. And also what? Asangam. Now, it is not touched, tainted by any form or anything. Existence is one thing which is not touched, tainted by anything. Asangam and Swatantram, independent. Ekam, Nityam, Nirvikaram, Sarvagatam, Asangam, Swatantram. You don't need to go more than this, enough. This existence and there, how many existences? One, no second parallel existence is not there. Therefore, what? It is Sajatiya Beda Rahitam. There's no similar existence, isn't it? And Vijatiya Beda Rahitam, there is nothing other than existence here. There is nothing other than existence. And existence doesn't have any divisions within itself. No parts within itself. The indivisible, partless whole. This was Swagata Bheda Rahitam also. So, okay? Why it has no Swagata Bhedam? Swagata Bheda, it doesn't have Swagata Bheda. Swagata Bheda Rahitam, it is partless. No Vijatiya Bheda, there is nothing other than existence here. No Sajatiya Bheda, there is no second existence. Okay, and this existence is an independent entity. Existence is truth. Sat, Satya, Sat, Brahma. And this existence will experience what? With the forms, names and functions. Existence is, existence obtains an existence of forms, names and functions which constitute the universe. The existence enjoyed by this universe, all the forms, names and functions, is actually what? Brahma. And without the forms, names and functions, if we want to know what is the existence, existence without the forms, names and functions, we can say mic is, computer is, television is, wall is, door is, people are, means existence enjoyed by every form, we are understanding. But what is this existence which lends existence to everything? So existence is not with one given form, isn't it? Existence is all pervasive. So no given form can really limit the existence. Just as space existing, space obtaining within this walls, four walls, is not limited by the boundaries of this wall. It goes beyond the wall. In fact, in this space, the walls exist. Space is, similarly here, existence also is not limited by the peripheries, the boundaries of any given form. Is all pervasive. In existence, everything exists. Their existence lends existence, gives life. And therefore, what is that existence? If we say, without forms, names and functions, we say that existence is this reality, arrived at in terms of its nature of knowing, as pure knowledge, pure consciousness, which is the existence. Existence is consciousness. Consciousness is the existence. Because unmanifested power of the reality exists in consciousness. The manifest power of reality as knowledge exists in reality, which is essentially of the nature of knowing. Therefore, substratum, the adhara, the adhishtanam, for jnanam and ajnanam, being the both, for both being very only one and the only reality, which is the pure knowledge, chaitanyam, is a what? Is the existence. Existence of ajnanam is jnanam. Existence of jnanam is also jnanam. For jnanam is vastu, existence. That which is vastu. Existence is consciousness. Consciousness is the existence. Now we take this consciousness, which alone, which is the existence, is of the nature of limitlessness. Why? Time is also a factor, subtle, intangible, the factor. Space, another intangible factor. And within this realm of time and space, all other forms, names and functions exist, which constitute. So, time and space, and all the forms, names and functions, exist within the realm of time and space, constitute, stand for the Jagat. And this Jagat is nothing but manifestation of knowledge. Time is knowledge. Space is knowledge. Why? Existence of time presupposes the knowledge of time. Existence of space presupposes the knowledge of space. All the forms, names and functions which exist within the realm of time and space presuppose what? Knowledge of knowledge. Therefore, nothing exists outside of knowledge. Therefore, we say, this reality, vastu, which is arrived in terms of its nature of knowledge, therefore implied by the term jnanam, which alone, which is the existence of everything, is of the nature of timelessness, is free from all the threefold limitations. Therefore, it is of the nature of limitlessness, therefore implied by the term Brahma. Okay? Therefore, because of all pervasiveness, it is this vastu which is there in and through. It is as the inner, what is the innermost essence of everything here? It is this vastu. But even though it is there, the innermost essence of everything, it is not available for objectification, perception, because it's nature of being the innermost. You have to come to the innermost, thing of every individual, the one who wants, where there is the mandakaranam, you have to come to your own mind. Nowhere. That is why yo veda nihitam guhayam. No way. You arrive at it. See, today I could say so quickly all these things because samskara you had for all these days of listening. First, if I tell this to somebody, who can understand this? I always used to love this sentence. Our Vinayaka Raghaval in Tamil, Irul Veli Irandukkum Oridam Enna. Without Vedanta, you would never reach the meaning of what Avyar says there. Now, when you say knowledge and ignorance are mithya, nothing but the power of reality, manifest as unmanifest. You don't even see the power as something there. It's not there really. What is there is only the reality. Okay? Now, when you look at it, you understand the whole that is why Maya is a word indicating the power of reality from the standpoint of the whole. The standpoint of the individual, power of reality is from the avidya. You can never understand Maya. You can understand Maya only light of understanding of what avidya is. So source of all knowledge is the reality. The source of manifestation is the source of knowledge, which is Swarupa Jnanam, which is all knowledge. Therefore, when you look at the reality as the knower of everything, then we can say, we use these two words, the Shabda denoting Ishvara, Sarvajnaha and Sarvavit. So, Sarvajnaha is Bhagavan. Sarvavit is Bhagavan. Even literally the roots vit and jnya, they don't have any big difference. Sarvavit also means all knowing, omniscient. Sarvajnya also means all knowing. So my wise person is also called Sarvajnya. Who is a wise person here? So where this the knowledge is manifest. Suppose knowledge is manifest. Knowledge of the existence of the self. Knowledge of the existence of the world. So I am. This world is. It is only partial manifestation. When this becomes total manifestation, in terms of what I am Brahma. This world is Brahma. So the knower, I am Brahma. The known universe is Brahma. The knower, known divisions are not outside of Brahma. The Brahman is free from knower, known, all knowledge divisions. Tiputi bheda rahitam. Sajati vijati sukata bheda rahitam. Ekam satyam jnanam anantam Brahma. Brahman is one. And that one who knows I am the reality obtaining in your pure consciousness and all that is there is only Brahman. Aham sarvam kalvidam Brahma, ahamidam sarvam, I am the whole. So this I cannot be placed anywhere other than the knowledge. Nowhere can I be resolved. Where can I be resolved? I has to be resolved only in this truth, isn't it? Essentially. This person who knows this also is called Sarvajnaha. Why? The knower of the truth has the understanding that the truth is the source of all knowledge. There is no other source of all knowledge than this reality obtaining as one's own sarupam, which is of the nature of knowledge. And this wise person who understands the source of all knowledge as one's own swarupam is also said to be Sarvajnaha. So having the knowledge of the source of knowledge does not make a person knower of everything. Swamiji always says, physics jnanam, you know physics, does not make you, remove your ignorance of chemistry or biology. So similarly, Brahma jnanam does not remove the ignorance of other things. Still, you can call a Brahma jnani, a wise person, as all-knowing person, sarvajnaha, why? He knows all-knowing means, he knows the truth, the source of all knowledge. He knows there's no knowledge outside of this truth, and which is the truth. He knows sarvajnaha. Whereas, where is the knowledge, detailed knowledge of everything, which has yet to be discovered, which has yet to become manifest? What is the source? No, where is the detailed knowledge of everything? Even already, how much our knowledge is there? No, how many discoveries are there? Still, there's so much to be discovered, so much to be understood. All the details of knowledge, where are they? Not outside of this truth again. The same reality is source of all knowledge, which is not created. There's no knowledge is created. Always knowledge is always. Therefore, then we look at that reality from the standpoint of the whole as Ishvara. Ishvaraha is a qualification, title attributed to the reality which is of the nature of knowing. That we imply with the term jnanam, which is a source of all knowledge. Look at it in the center of the whole, if the Ishvara title is attributed, then you say what? Ishvaraha sarvavit. So the wise person can never become a sarvavit. He can only be a sarvajnaha. You can understand the source of all knowledge. Why? Because the upadhi is limited. The upadhi, manifesting medium, has its limitation. Why you can never become a sarvavit? The upadhi, the manifesting medium, has its limitation. Is it clear? Why sarvajnaha, not sarvavit? But even what are all the detailed knowledge, where is it? That you can say. Any knowledge is not outside of this truth. And that is the only truth of everything here, all the beings here. That is why human being is very special, because only in a human being this knowledge is manifest. Is manifestation of knowledge in terms of knowledge of the existence of the self, not the existence of the world. This I am, this world is, this is there. This makes a human being special. Imagine if this knowledge is not there. How you are all in sleep. We are breathing, we are eating, we are digesting, isn't it? With some natural instincts, you can eat, you can drink, you can walk around. Natural instincts can make you move around. Without this knowledge, that's how the animal survives. That's why animals remain steeped in ignorance means what now? Animals remain steeped in ignorance means this is what? There's only ignorance. There is knowledge. Animal is knowledge. A tree is knowledge. A bird is knowledge. A living creature is knowledge. A non-living thing is also definitely knowledge. Do you see that now? Inanimate, animate, everything is knowledge, essentially. But there is no manifestation of knowledge in an animal. Everything is knowledge, But what is not there? The manifestation of knowledge is not there on the part of an animal. But where there is life, you see manifestation of knowledge, the different level of manifestation of knowledge in a living being. You understand? But in a non-living thing, you see, non-living thing is definitely, essentially pure knowledge. But there's no manifestation of knowledge at all. That is why I told, now today if you understand, why all the time I said the highest form of manifestation of knowledge. In any living being, including our physical body, there is manifestation of knowledge in a living physical body. There is manifestation of knowledge in any living being. The level of manifestation of knowledge in any living being and our physical body was the same. In a buffalo or an animal, a cat or a rat or in a squirrel or a human body or a tree or everywhere, there is manifestation of knowledge. Isn't it? You see life. The life itself is what implies the manifestation of knowledge. But what is the level of manifestation? There's a certain degree of level of manifestation. But where is the highest form of manifestation of knowledge? In a human mind, not in human shariram. In mind itself, you can't separate. Only in human being, the highest form of manifestation, as I said, in terms of the knowledge of the existence of self, in terms of I am. And which, only if it is there, the knowledge of the existence of the world, this world is possible. That is why we have to understand there is no higher form of manifestation of knowledge than this manifestation of knowledge in terms of I am. It is the highest form of manifestation of knowledge. And it can, this is half manifestation. This all becomes total manifestation. If there has to be total manifestation of knowledge, there must be what? Knowledge of what I am. Is it? This I am is what? What is this I am? What is this universe is? What this knowledge is? This I am is knowledge of the existence of the self. The world is knowledge of the existence of the world. And what this knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought, what this knowledge is? See, you can say that is, this is, body is, mind is, everything is. When you come there, no, finally, you say there is knowledge. And what this knowledge is? It is manifestation of knowledge. In what form does it obtain? In the form of a thought. How do you know it's a thought? Because it comes and goes. The subtle phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought is that which comes and goes. If it comes and goes, means there must be a substratum for it, adhishtanam for it. And that adhishtanam is, when it is not there, you call it ignorance. When it is there, you call it knowledge. And this, for both, there is one adhishtanam. For knowledge and ignorance, adhishtanam is one. The adhishtanam is the vastu, the reality. And that reality you arrive at, because it is inexplicably subtlest, it is the very swarupam of everything. It is of the nature of formlessness. It is of the nature of attributelessness. So the only way you can talk about is what? You arrive at it in terms of its nature. Therefore, it is implied by the term jnanam. Jnanati iti jnanam. And there, knowing is not an action, it is a swarupam. It is given this, that knower is as a title attributed to the same reality, the jnanam. Jnanam is given the knower title from the standpoint of the known. For knower is knowledge. Understand now? Knower is knowledge. Therefore, that is why we are not able to know everything. Maximum the human mind can arrive at is what? Arrive at the source of all knowledge, for which you need a Shastra Pramanam. Isn't it? That is why we say, we differentiate this. Knowledge of the existence of a thing is experience. And knowledge of what the existing thing is knowledge. Knowledge of the existence of a given thing is what? Experience. Suppose I experience this given object. I don't know what it is. I know it is. It is experience. If I know what it is knowledge. Therefore, experience is knowledge, but knowledge is not experience. Is it clear? The difference? Knowledge of existence of something is what? Experience. But knowledge of what that existent thing is knowledge. Experience is knowledge, but knowledge is not experience. Therefore, it is this avidya which has to undergo a change. Undergoing a change means what? Why it undergoes a change? It is of the nature of undergoing a change. It is of the nature of inertness. Therefore, it undergoes a change. Then only there can be this manifestation. Avidya does undergo change, there can't be manifestation, isn't it? Therefore, for the avidya is taken to be what? Medium also, manifesting medium. Because it has undergo change for there to be manifestation. There are not too many things, only one vastu. We give different words we are using. Because when there is manifestation, the knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am. Then there's knowledge of the existence of the world as the world is. But there's no total manifestation. Therefore, what? There's a half ignorance. And that it is at half ignorance becomes responsible for what? Moola karanam. Moola karanam, the root cause of everything. Samsara. Therefore, it is called also what? Karana shariram. If without ajnanam, how can there be? If there is no total jnanam is there. Samsara won't be there. All this total manifestation, how can there be samsara? There won't be samsara. So, ajnana must be there for the adhyasa to be there. erroneous perception, because of ajnanam, because adhyasa, there is adhyaropa, superimposition of limitations, panatma upon the atma. Therefore, there needs, then the desire, the wrong notion, ahankara, there comes the desire, kama, then because which karma, then palam, janma, therefore, the janma is what? Punarjanma, for rebirth implies assumption of another body itself is because of the phalam in the form of prarabdha karma phalam. So prarabdha is responsible for the assumption of the body, karma phalam. The prarabdha karma phalam is because of the karma. Because without the karma can be phalam. The karma is caused by what? The disease. Impelled by disease. Completely, where are we here? Where is I here? The natural setup. This natural setup, we are just there. So the desire itself is possible because of this fundamental problem of smallness and inadequacy centered on I. And that is because of the wrong notion you have about yourself. Because all conclusions, because of the superimposition of limitations of anatma upon the atma. And that is because you mistake the anatma for the atma, adhyasa. That is because you do not know what this knowledge, obtaining the form of thought in terms of I am and is. Therefore, avidya, ajnanam is the moola karanam. If a human being alone goes through samsara, why? Because human being alone has ardhajnanam. And animals don't have ardhajnanam also. They remain steeped in total ignorance. Therefore, they have bliss. I remember Swamiji saying, he used to be great, fun. In half an hour talk, he'll talk only this in public lectures to make people laugh. No cow goes for plastic surgery. He's worried about its horn being little curved or crooked because no identity. No identity is possible, no inferiority, superiority complex. Which cow is worried about daughter's marriage, son's job? It's all because of the lack of identity. If it has identity, it has had all the problems. Identity is not there where knowledge of the existence of its own self is not there. In total ignorance, how can there be identity? Isn't it? In total knowledge, there will be right identity. In total ignorance, there is non-identity. In half knowledge, there is wrong identity. In right identity, there is no problem. In non-identity, there is no problem. In half knowledge, wrong identity, there is a problem, which is samsara. That is why whole shastram is for human being. That is why it is always said, it is how that one vastu alone becomes this world of plurality. How one has become the many, that will be an eternal mystery. Because in discovering what is that one which has become many, the discoverer resolves. The discoverer resolves in discovering that one, the discoverer being not there, further discovery is not possible. That is why it will be eternal mystery. Do you agree with what I'm saying? Do you see? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.